We're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, talking today with Dr. Stephen Higgs with the Biosecurity Research Institute. He's the director out there at Kansas State University, and interesting topics here, and we're going to dive into some other things. There's some recently published studies that BRI has been working on, including one about SARS-CoV-2 failing to infect or replicate in mosquitoes. Let's talk a little bit about this study first.
All right. Thank you, Brandon. Yeah, this was a study that I was personally involved in. I was in the lab giving assistance to Dr. Scott Long, who was testing the mosquitoes. We took three species of mosquito, three different types, three very common mosquitoes, which are commonly or most frequently involved in transmission of various viruses to people, dengue, yellow fever, West Nile. And what we did was we challenged those mosquitoes by injecting SARS-CoV-2 virus into them and then looking to see if it multiplied and if it could maybe be transmitted. And, you start experiments normally hoping for positive results. And we were thrilled that we got negative results. No matter how we tried, we couldn't infect those mosquitoes. And I mean, you imagine it's bad enough it being spread by, in sneezes and so forth. But if it was transmitted by mosquitoes as well, so many more people would be infected. So we were thrilled when we found out that it couldn't infect those species of mosquito. And it was published in Scientific Reports in a high profile journal. K-State keeps a track of where it's been cited. The last time I heard it was in 450. We're probably heading for 500 different newspapers and news outlets, radios like Cayman, and in I think 80 different countries. The last count.
Wow, that's great, and it's so neat to highlight that kind of research happening in our backyard here, because we know all the hard work that goes into these studies. A lot of research.
Yeah, and we, the K-State as an institute were very supportive of keeping the BRI open, and I've always said we've got a phenomenal crew of staff here to keep the biosecurity safe and secure and to enable research, and they took the initiative that this was priority research that just had to be done. Nowhere else really can do this type of research with the mosquitoes. We were the first to publish the scientific evidence, and then we got a lot more research going on. I was on the phone to Jürgen Rick this morning. His group has conducted a lot of projects on SARS-CoV-2. They've done a study in pigs, because although I said earlier we should know everything about this virus, we don't. And the concern was it almost certainly came from animals, crossed over, spilled over from animals into the human transmission cycle. Dr. Rick's team demonstrated that pigs could not be infected with this virus. And then there was a lot of discussion on domestic animals. People have pets. Could they give it to pets, and could they be infected from pets? And Jürgen's done a number of studies here at the BRI on cats. And cats can be infected. They do not develop sort of symptoms, they don't get sick, but they do shed the virus. So that's very important knowledge for us. And he's got those papers in press at the moment. They're going to be well cited, I think, those studies conducted here at the Biosecurity Research Institute at K-State. But Jürgen is at the College of Vet Med, Diagnostic Medicine, Pathobiology, a distinguished Regents professor. So, he's really doing great work. He's done studies on hamsters. One of the problems with vaccine development in particular is animal testing. And they ultimately have to be tested in non-human primates, but most vaccines never get to market. And having small animal models that are relatively inexpensive, and with an animal that's readily available is very important for vaccine development, diagnostic development. And so Dr. Rick has been working on a hamster model, and hamsters seem to be pretty good. There are some mouse models, but they are extremely expensive, highly specialized, and genetic engineered mice, basically. So the having a hamster as a small animal model is very good. Can move the field forward.
Have there been any challenges getting research animals due to this pandemic? I know there's been challenges in all phases of life.
Yeah. The one type of mouse strain that is available and is a proven model for this, you would imagine that was an extremely short supply. I mean, and I saw some quotes of, even if you could get the mice, they were like $500 per mouse or more. They were a premium. So we haven't used those here, whereas hamsters are relatively easy to get through approved vendors, and are a good way to test these diagnostics and vaccine candidates. Other studies that has been ongoing, I saw a really good video with the Bloomberg News on surfaces. So Dr. Rick was conducting some experiments to look at how long the virus survived on different surfaces. So I think they did 12 different types of surfaces, cardboards and plastics, even N95 masks or personal protective equipment. They did it under different conditions. And one of the things they found was that the virus on some of these surfaces can survive seven times longer in winter type conditions than in summer type conditions. So I have not seen that published yet. I just heard the news report, and I believe they're also going to look at virus survival in tears and saliva, in nasal secretions and things like that. Another study, I'm just talking here, Brandon.
No,
so
you're fine.
Jump in and ask questions. another study, Dr. Sally Davis and Dr. Randy Phoebus. Dr. Phoebus has got tremendous expertise in the food industry, specifically in slaughterhouses and so forth, where we've had a huge number of cases of infection. And they've got a grant to look at the virus on the sorts of surfaces that you find in meatpacking plants and things like that. So that's another project that hasn't started yet, but they've got, I think, $1 million of USDA money and over 300,000 from the Kansas NBAF Transition Fund. So those are projects which are all poised to go and contribute to our knowledge on this virus so that we can hopefully beat it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I've heard a little bit about that food service one. That's going to be a key here, because we have so many meatpacking plants in the Midwest, including here in Kansas. We've seen outbreaks in those meatpacking plants. So any way you can protect those workers even more is going to be vitally important.
Yeah. The power of knowledge, Brandon. That's what we're trying to get here.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Higgs, it's always a fascinating time to get a update from you, and we'll invite you to come back here again sometime real soon. We're out of time. We've got to get to my next segment, but thank you for being with us this morning.
Thanks, and our thoughts are with the president, and hoping he gets the symptoms as mild as I did and back on the job, right?
Absolutely. We hope so, too. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ronnie. Good to talk to you.
All right. We'll continue our conversation. We'll do Manhattan Parks and Rec up next on News Radio KMAN.